Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to stand with me and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. John, chapter 1. And if you would stand with me if you're able. Our series on Sunday evening is Foundations of the Faith. And tonight we're going to begin to look at the person of Jesus Christ. So we have studied many topics in Scripture already, like creation and Satan and the Word of God and salvation and most recently eternal security. But now we are going to turn to the person of Jesus Christ, and it will no doubt take us a few weeks to get through this particular lesson. So in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, and look at verse number 14 with me, and I'll read this verse just to by way of introduction, and then we'll jump right into the message. John chapter 1 and verse number 14, the Word of God says this, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Amen. You may be seated this evening. Just a few opening thoughts as we kind of set the tone or the direction of this evening's message. Hopefully you got a lesson on the way in, and you can kind of follow along there. But have you considered this? When did Jesus come into existence? When did He come into existence? Was it Christmas time? You know. Well, we understand that the Bible teaches Jesus existed before the first Christmas. So, but what was that relationship like, and what does the Bible have to say about that? Another question we'll address tonight is really, what is the significance of the virgin birth? We've been talking in our study in the Gospel of Matthew about the virgin birth and about the birth of Christ, but what significance does the virgin birth play in our salvation? Number one, let's start with this, the preexistence of Christ. What do we mean when we say the preexistence of Christ? It's simply this, that Jesus Christ existed in eternity past prior to any physical appearance through the virgin birth. So before He became a man and walked upon the earth, before God became flesh, He was already in existence as the second person of the Trinity. We see this throughout the Old Testament and in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, we have these very, very interesting moments throughout Scripture. We refer to them as Christophanies, which is simply put, a manifestation of Jesus in the Old Testament, a visible appearance of Christ, though not outright, but nonetheless obvious that Jesus before the virgin birth appears on the pages of Scripture. Let me give you just a few examples of that, and there are a number, but I'll give you just two this evening. The first is in Genesis 32 and verse number 24. This is a story about Jacob, all right? And this is a reference to wrestling. So all of like the wrestlers here, who I maintain the best winter sport is basketball, and everybody said, all right, there are a couple of you there, but for the wrestlers, unfortunately, it doesn't say Jacob played basketball against this guy, all right, but he did wrestle, and it says this, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day." Now, let's just point out the fact that this is a very unique and interesting story. All of a sudden, it says Jacob was alone, and then he started wrestling with a guy. And it's like, what? Did I miss something here? Is he like Rey Mysterio? What? That was like the only wrestler that came to mind, all right? He wrestled with a man until the breaking of the day. Huh? Who's just wrestling Jacob? Verse 25. "And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him." Verse 26. "And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Verse 27, "And he said unto him, What is thy name?" This is the man asking Jacob, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Verse 28, you ever wonder why or how Jacob became Israel? They're not called the Jacobites, right? But the Israelites. That comes from this story. In verse number 28, "And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." Verse 29, "And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there." And then it's like the man is gone. But notice what it says in verse 30. "And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel." Why? "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." Who was that man? Some would say, well, it was just an angel. But it seems the more accurate teaching of Scripture is that this was, in fact, a Christophany, an appearance of Jesus in the Old Testament. Let me give you another example. Something that's important to understand is that angels never receive worship throughout Scripture, never. Now, they were highly esteemed, and they were powerful beings, and they were created, but they were never worshiped, and they never tried to accept or receive worship. There was only one who did that, and he's not an angel anymore, right? He was cast out of heaven. But Jacob, jump down to Revelation 22 and verse number 8. I want you to see this principle. It says, "And I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I heard them," or "when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship," notice this, "before the feet of the angel which showed me these things." So John is receiving this vision. At the end of the revelation, he falls down and worships before the feet of the angel. Verse 9, "Then saith he unto me, See thou do it not." The angel says, "Quit that, for I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God." The angel acknowledged, "I am not God. Do not fall down in reverence or worship to me. Stand up, worship God." Now, back to the Old Testament again. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, we have maybe a similar situation as we did with Jacob, but now with Joshua, the mighty warrior of Israel. In Joshua 5:13, it says, "And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries?" So here is Joshua on the brink of entering Jericho, the first place, the first city that the Israelites would conquer in the promised land. And on the night before the battle, so to speak, he sees a man with a sword drawn. Joshua doesn't recognize this guy. So he comes out and asks him, "Are you for us or are you against us?" Verse 14, "And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth," notice this, "and did worship, and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant?" Verse 15, "And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua," tell me if this sounds familiar, "Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy." And Joshua did so. Do those words sound familiar? Is this not exactly what God said to Moses as he appeared before him as a burning bush, and he said, take your shoes off, for this is a holy place. This is holy ground. So here we have a man with a sword drawn, receiving worship from the leader of the Israelites. He does not reject that worship. He takes it a step further and says, while you're at it, take your shoes off, because this is holy ground. Who was that man? I believe that to be the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ appearing in the Old Testament. You say, well, how is that possible? Because Jesus existed before the New Testament. He is pre-incarnate. Jesus himself testified of his own pre-existence. In John 17, verse number 5, I'm going to give you a lot of scripture tonight, all right? And let's just take this in and soak this up. It says this, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, notice this, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Before the world was created, I was there. This is just one of many passages where Jesus taught his existence before the virgin birth. Now, I'm going to belabor this for a little bit here, because this is extremely important that Jesus existed before the virgin birth. If he did not, then what we know about Christ and our salvation and God himself unravels. There are major religions that reject this doctrine, this teaching. It separates Christianity from many false professing Christian religions. In John 3, verse 13, Jesus says, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. So before he was born, he didn't come into existence when Mary was pregnant. No, he was even in heaven before that. John 6, in verse number 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. John 6, 38. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. John 6, 62. What and if ye shall receive the Son of Man ascend up, notice this, where he was before. In John 8, verse 23, and he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above, ye are of this world, I am not of this world. In John 8, verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now hang on a second. Abraham is the ancestor, all right? As we mentioned this morning, the great, 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 so on and so forth, grandfather of the Jewish people. Jesus says, Abraham rejoiced to see his day. Wait a second. That was 2,000 years earlier that Abraham was alive. How would Abraham rejoice to see Jesus? Jesus explains. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old. They know what he's saying. And hast thou seen Abraham? You're talking about this guy, Abraham, like you know him personally. Because Jesus did know him personally. Verse 58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, listen to what I'm about to say. I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham existed, I am. Ego, I me. I am that I am. And I can't help but think back to when God called Moses to go to Egypt to deliver the Israelites out of Egypt, and Moses said, I can't go, God, I can't talk right, and they're not going to believe me, and who will I tell them has sent me? And God said, tell them, I am that I am hath sent you. Ego, I me. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, literally, it says, I am, I am. We know exactly what he was saying, what he was declaring. And if you wonder, well, did they know what he was saying? Oh boy, yeah, they did. Because in the very next verse, verse number 59, it says this, then took they up stones to cast at him. Why were they going to stone him? Because he was declaring he is pre-existent. He is the eternal. I am God. So they reached down to pick up some rocks to throw at Jesus. Notice this, but Jesus hid himself. I don't know what that was like. He hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. 2,000 years earlier, Abraham existed, and Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. The apostles in the New Testament, they were in agreement. So this wasn't just something that maybe we're misunderstanding Jesus here. No, the apostles and the New Testament writers doubled down on this doctrine. John 1 in verse number 1, if you still have your Bibles there, you can look there with me. It says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Jesus was there in the beginning. He was with God. He wasn't only with God. He is God. Hebrews 1 and verse number 2 hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. If Jesus came into existence at the virgin birth, He would have had a really hard time making the worlds, right? And yet Christ made the worlds. John the Baptist, who we talked about this morning, knew that Jesus was pre-existent. John 1 and verse 15, it says, John bare witness of Him. What does John say? And he cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. Notice this, for He was before me. Who was older, Jesus or John the Baptist? Well, that's a trick question now, isn't it? Physically, John the Baptist was what we understand as 6 months older than Jesus. So how is this possible? John says He's not only preferred before me, but He was before me. You know that the religion of Islam claims that Jesus was one of the most important prophets, but not God's Son. Muslims assert that Jesus was born of a virgin, but He was created like Adam was created. They do not believe that Jesus died on the cross, because why would God allow one of His greatest prophets to die on a cross? Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is Michael, the archangel. They believe that He is the highest created being. Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jehovah created Jesus as an angel, and then Jesus created everything else. Mormons believe that Jesus is a God, but not the God. Years and years ago, I was at the north campus of LBC Chillicothe. There used to be two campuses, and I was up on the hill. Brother Jared Bevan was performing a wedding ceremony, and he asked me to do the sound for his wedding ceremony. Not his, specifically, he was already married, but he was officiating a wedding, and he asked me to do the sound. I had never done the sound in my life, and I'm like, dude, you want me to do this? And he's like, yeah, it'll be fine. And I just had to hit play. It's a miracle. I didn't mess it up, all right? And then after the wedding, this was a wedding where Brother Jared didn't really know the bride and groom that much. They were both believers. They were looking for somebody to marry them. I think it kind of was like they found, I would say in the Yellow Pages, but what are those? And Google, Lighthouse Baptist Church or churches in Chillicothe. They found this one. They gave it a call, and Jared met with them. He sat down for counseling with them, and it was good. But he didn't really know them. He didn't really know the family. So after the wedding, me and Jared don't know anybody really that's here. And so we grab our wedding food, and we're just like, well, I guess we'll just kind of eat right here. And so we start eating, and then this guy pops his head in the room where we're at, one of the friend of the bride or the groom, I don't know. And he said, hey, wanted to say good job on your, doing the wedding. And I believe this may have been Jared's first wedding ceremony. He did a great job. It was awesome. But this guy said, hey, great job. And then he said this, but could I give you a few tips? Now, I was like, yes, please give him tips. And and Jared, just being humble, was like, absolutely, what do you have? And it was at that moment, with or without consent, that I pulled out my phone and I hit the record button because I thought, this is going to be something I want to listen to again. And he said, can I give you a few tips? And just the fact that somebody would say such a thing, like you don't know them, they don't know you, and it's like, hey, let me give you a few pointers. And I was like, oh, this guy must be the greatest guy ever, And so I was like, awesome. I hit record, and I just watched. And this guy starts talking, do this, do that, blah, blah, blah. And Jared was, again, humble about it. He was like, yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. And then Jared's like, hey, do you go to church somewhere? Where do you go to church? And because the guy mentioned that he used to be a pastor. And I was like, I used to be. And he was like, where do you go to church? Where were you a pastor? And then come to find out, the guy is Jehovah's Witness. And so he tells us that, and Jared goes, oh, okay. There's about 5 seconds of silence. And Jared goes, hey, so tell me a little bit about what you believe. And he knew what he believed, but he said, tell me what you believe about Jesus. And the guy starts, throwing things out there. And at this point, I was like, I wanna talk too. But Jared was so, it was like, we laughed about it later because he literally would not let me get in a word. And I'm supposed to be his wingman here and like throwing out a Bible verse or something. And he is just like, blah, 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 he's witnessing to the guy, but he's witnessing to him pretty aggressive. So I'm right here, and I'm like, tag me in. Let me say something. I was like, hey, and he's like, I got this, he's like, shh. I'm like, all right. And he keeps going, and he's sharing the gospel with this guy. And he gets to the point where the guy says, Jesus actually isn't God. And Jared was like, oh, well, how did you come to that conclusion? And he said, well, in like John chapter 1, verse 1, where it says that Jesus, he was God, the word was God. He said, actually, the Greek, it actually says that he was a God. And Jared goes, no, it doesn't. I've studied the Greek personally. There is no a God. That's a corruption in your translation of the Bible. He is not a God. He is God. And that was like the knockout punch. And then the guy was like, all right, I'll see you guys later. And I was thinking he didn't have any more tips after that. Some may think, oh, just a slight difference. One word changes the entire Bible. Was God? Was a God? One letter, one little letter, a very big difference. Colossians 1 verse 16 says this, who is the image of the invisible God. He is God in the flesh, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, this is Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, in that passage, Jehovah's Witness would actually use that verse in Colossians 1:16, where it says he's the firstborn of every creature. And they'll say, now, wait a second. It tells us Jesus is the firstborn. So he was created first, and then everything else came from him. But that's not what the verse is teaching. He is not the first created being. Firstborn signifies priority. It signifies first in rank and even the rightful heir. The firstborn of creation expresses his sovereignty over his creation. To put it another way, Jesus created the world, saved the world, and rules the world. It's his. What problem would there be if Jesus did not exist before the virgin birth? I'll tell you, if Christ came into existence when he was in Mary's womb, there would be no eternal Trinity. He is not God because God is eternal. So if he did not pre-exist, that would mean Jesus is not only like us, mortal, with a beginning. It also makes him a liar because he claimed to be God and he claimed to be pre-existent. He is. Number two, the miraculous birth of Christ. And I won't belabor this too much because we spent some time on this over the past several weeks. We believe that Jesus was born miraculously of the Holy Ghost, born of Mary, a virgin, as no man was ever born or can ever be born of a woman. I've touched on Mary over the past several weeks as well, but did you see the ruling or the word that came out where there were those in the Vatican who doubled down that Mary is not the co-redemptrix with Jesus? And there are Catholics who are pitching a fit over that, asking Mary to pray for them because many believe that she is the co-redeemer of mankind. She is not. She was a woman of great faith, but still a sinner in need of a Savior. The Bible teaches in Isaiah 7, verse 14, that therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. In Galatians 4, in verse number 4, it says, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. This is what we refer to as the hypostatic union, God and man becoming one. Augustine said this, man was added to him. God was not lost to him. He always is and always was God. He emptied himself, not by losing what he was, but by taking upon him what he was not, man. Another way we could put it is without ceasing to be what he was, he became what he was not. The virgin birth has nothing to do with the origin of Christ. It only concerns his entrance into the human race. How significant is the virgin birth? Well, first of all, it teaches us that salvation ultimately must come from the Lord because this was a miraculous event. It also makes it possible to unite full deity and full humanity into one person. We believe that sin is passed through the earthly father. Adam's sin passed down to all of his descendants. And yet Jesus had no earthly father. What problems would come if Jesus was not born of a virgin? Listen to these words from Pastor John MacArthur. Mary's virginity protected a great deal more than her own moral character, reputation, and the legitimacy of Jesus' birth. It protected the nature of the divine Son of God. The child is never called the son of Joseph. Joseph is never called Jesus' father. And Joseph is not mentioned in Mary's song of praise. Had Jesus been conceived by the act of man, whether Joseph or anyone else, he could not have been divine and could not have been the Savior. His own claims about himself would have been lies, and his resurrection and ascension would have been hoaxes. All mankind would forever remain lost if Jesus were not born of a virgin. When Jesus came through the virgin birth, he did not change his deity. Listen to me very carefully. He changed, one, his dwelling place from the presence of the Father to the presence of men. He changed his possessions from glory to obscurity. He changed from riches to poverty. It changed his reputation as well. It changed his form from the form of God to the likeness of men, even a servant. But his deity did not change. Wayne Grudem said, "It is by far the most amazing miracle in the whole Bible. Far more amazing than the resurrection, and more amazing than the creation of the universe, the fact that infinite, omnipotent, eternal Son of God could become man and join himself to a human nature so that infinite God became one person with finite man will remain for eternity the most profound miracle and most profound mystery in all of the universe." It was a miraculous birth, and praise God for that birth. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you now, we are grateful, Lord, that you came, that you lived, that you died for our sin and in our place. Lord, we can read about your miraculous birth and miraculous life. We can acknowledge that and even understand it to a degree. Lord, I do pray for the one who has still not yet put their personal faith in you for salvation. Lord, to know is one thing. To believe and receive the truth of who your Son is something different. And so we pray for maybe those here, for our family and for our friends, for those around us, Lord, that we interact with each and every week, that they would see the truth of the gospel, that you are God who became man so that man could dwell with you, God, in eternity. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a great week. Ransomed me, mine was the sin.
that drove.